When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
All right, it's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you, second half kickoff here. And it is, it's freezing outside, like literally freezing. Still around 32 in Athens. Supposed to get up to 62 today with plenty of sunshine. Should be a nice day.
That's a quick warm-up from 32 to 62 in a matter of hours.
Yeah, exactly. And by 10 a.m. it'll be 44.
Don't worry about your immune system or anything. It'll be fine.
No, it's good. It's all good. Time to bring in our man Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. B.A., Happy New Year to you. We haven't talked to you in about 3 years, so it's good to have you back.
It is good to be back in our regular slot here. I was telling Logan before I came on, it does feel like it's been kind of a long time, so kind of nice to be back in the saddle again.
Yeah, let's catch December 18th. Kirby Smart's now our football coach.
Yep.
We got a guy named Tom Crean running the basketball program. There's a three-point line now in basketball.
Yeah. Well, let's update folks on what's happened since we last spoke, for sure.
No doubt. Well, anyway, let's get right to it, and trying to think where we wanted to start with this.
I'll start. Brandon, we brought you on for one specific reason this morning. You're about to break the news to us what Jake Fromm's decision is, so the mic is all yours.
Yeah, if only that were true, I'd have a lot of attention on me right now.
And, I wish it was.
Listen, the one thing I've been saying about this the entire time is I think it is a legitimate decision. You know, I think that there is, you know, even though it seems like sort of conventional wisdom that Fromm would come back for another year and kind of build on his NFL resume, satisfy that itch for, like, team success, which I know that Fromm really, really craves. And all of that seems like conventional wisdom. And ultimately, I guess, if you're going to ask me to make a prediction, my prediction is that Fromm will return. However, I do think that there is, like, legitimate credence being paid to the other side of this that he might consider leaving because, you know, if he's gotten an indication from NFL folks that his draft situation is somewhat static, meaning that he's second or third round pick this year, likely also a second or third round pick next year, because one of the ways in which you climb up the draft board a lot of times is with the combine. And this is no disrespect to Jake Fromm, but what makes Fromm good as a quarterback is not necessarily the combine type stuff. And so that might be a reason that he would consider going to the NFL right now. Ultimately, my prediction is that he probably stays. And honestly, I'm just as much of a loss as y'all are as to when it's going to happen. I think there was maybe a thought yesterday of one way or another, you don't try to upstage the basketball game against Kentucky. You let Crean and Ant-Man and those guys kind of have their stage to themselves. And I guess maybe in my own sort of mental process, I put myself on Jake Fromm watch now, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, something like that, of, you know, maybe hearing about this before you go into the weekend. Because if he is coming back, Georgia's going to want to get as much attention for that as it can, which means you probably don't want it to bleed into NFL playoffs, the national championship on Monday. We have a little bit of a quiet period on a news front the next 3 days. So if Fromm is coming back, then my guess is it'll be relatively early on one of those days to give websites like Dog Nation plenty of time to fan the flames and hype about the fact that he is returning.
Here's the thing. If he does, I mean, I know everyone's kind of stressed out over this, but if he doesn't come back, I just don't feel like it's – I mean, and I want him to come back. Don't get me wrong. But there are some other options out there for Georgia if he doesn't come back. So I want to kind of ask you what you think would potentially happen if Georgia loses him. Is the starting quarterback in the Virginia game, is he on campus right now?
Well, if I had to guess, I would say no, probably not. And Carson Beck, by the way, is on campus right now, so I'm including him in that discussion when I say that I would place my chips on the idea that Georgia would reach to a veteran starting quarterback. And my guess is, just given the inexperience that Dwan Mathis has, and the inexperience that Carson Beck has, that sets him in at even two, that the veteran transfer you bring in would be my odds on favor to win that award. And I also agree with you on this. I'm not going to wish Fromm out the door either, and I think that Georgia's obviously better with him. Even if you gave me my choice of all the potential transfers that I'm aware of now, and there could be, you know, more on the page soon that we're not aware of, but I still think that Jake Fromm, would, as a senior, would be the best option for Georgia. But I want to say this very, very clearly right now. If Fromm makes the announcement that he's leaving, I don't think that changes Georgia from being a contender in 2020, at least on paper at the beginning of the season, for all that it wants to accomplish. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's easy without Jake Fromm either, but Georgia's over, under, total, when those come out from Vegas, that'll happen the next month or two. When that comes out, I don't think the over-under total is going to be all that impacted by that. The overall national championship odds, I don't think they're going to just plummet if it's a transfer quarterback into the Jake Fromm. Everything about Georgia is made easier with the presence of Fromm as a senior, but it's not like Georgia's going to be outside the top preseason top 10, even if it doesn't have Jake Fromm.
Well, one reason that Georgia should be okay next year, no matter who's throwing the ball, is that guy George Pickens showed out at the Sugar Bowl, a little bit of a coming out party, if you would, but he'll be a sophomore next year along with some other guys that will mature a little bit. But hey, since it's been a while since we talked, Georgia also landed quite the haul on early National Signing Day with some other receivers. So in addition to Pickens, who are you excited about for whoever's throwing to them next season?
Well, I think that you got to start with Pickens on this, just from the standpoint of he really is different than anything, certainly that Kirby Smart has had at Georgia. And really, I'm not going to tell you he's going to be as good as A.J. Green, but you'd probably have to go back to A.J. Green to kind of find a weapon who I think has as dynamic a receiver position as Pickens is. And I say that with all due respect to guys like Malcolm Mitchell and others who are very, very good receivers. But Pickens just has the potential to be something different. We saw that put on display in the Sugar Bowl. He, you know, Terrence Edwards, for instance, the guy that we like to have on our program, has raved about, former UGA receiver, obviously, has raved about Pickens. Called him a true go-to receiver, a true number one receiver before his freshman season began. And I think that Pickens made good on that prediction, especially during the Sugar Bowl, which was his 14th college game, the first time in a while he was able to play the entirety of the game, and he just kind of showed you what the physical maturity that he's developed over the course of the season can bring. And so if Fromm does come back, I think he will come back to something that Javon Wims wasn't really fully able to provide. With all due respect to Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley and guys like that, they didn't really fully bring to the table of what Pickens brings. Pickens essentially this year, going into the Sugar Bowl, had about the same stats that Mecole Hardman would have had in 2018. So as a true freshman, was kind of already providing what a more seasoned player had brought to you the year before. And I think the sky's really the limit for him as a sophomore. Now, you add to that the Arian Smith name that comes to mind simply because he brings what Georgia doesn't have a lot of right now, which is elite speed. Jeff Sintel is reporting that Jermaine Burton is not going to be an early enrollee. At one point in time, we thought there was a chance that might be the case. But Burton has the kind of athleticism that, you know, you can see him potentially making an impact next year. And then there's Marcus Roseme, who's probably, I would say, as a receiver, maybe a little bit more of a polished, finished product. He's played in the elite program. He's had the stability of kind of being in that program for a while. And so I think Roseme's an interesting name there, too, not to mention the fact that you hope you get Dominic Blaylock back healthy again next year. So the receiver position for Georgia has changed pretty dramatically, really, since we last spoke, because we got a nice glimpse of how good Pickens can be. And also, Georgia was really able to address that in a major way with some of the final pieces of his 2020 class.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can hear Monday through Friday right here on 960 The Ref, noon to 1. B.A., what's your take on the Zach Evans situation?
You know, I guess to be completely candid, it's totally understandable that Georgia decided that it apparently did not want to be in the Zach Evans business anymore. That's Georgia's prerogative. I'm sure they have a good reason for making the decision they made. I feel like it's a little bit of a weird look for UGA to go as far down the road with Evans as they did to ultimately decide at the 11th hour this wasn't what they wanted to do. I don't know that it's the most egregious error of all time, but it is a little bit of an unforced error. And listen, Georgia's already got an elite back to the 2020 class. Everybody would say that about Kendall Milton. And Milton's recruitment was sort of a storybook thing, and the fact that he and his family kind of fell in love with Georgia and he never wavered. Obviously, you want all your recruitments to be like Milton, and you'd love to have 25 players of Milton's caliber in terms of a talent standpoint. However, Dave, the one thing that I never wavered on was my belief that Georgia needed two backs the caliber of Milton. Milton's great, but Georgia has a need for a second running back, and for a team like Georgia that runs the ball as much as it does, you can't really settle for average at that spot. You've got to have a very, very good player, and Georgia's pursuit of Evans, as deep as it went, I think excluded Georgia from getting in on other running backs. I think that's a little bit of an unforced error for UGA. It's not a calamity that can't be overcome, but it is a mistake that could have been avoided.
So, and like Tank Bigsby comes to mind, but so do we expect when signing day rolls around next month that there may be somebody out there we're not aware of to fill that void in the recruiting class?
Yeah, you know, there's still a couple of running backs out there from in-state, for instance. Georgia really seemingly has not been involved with Jahmyr Gibbs at all. That's the running back up in Dalton, and I won't pretend to have any kind of inside information on that. I put my ear to the ground, and I'm not hearing anything when it comes to Georgia and Gibbs. I guess there's a little bit more chatter about the running back in Crawford County, and, you know, maybe that happens. And, listen, I don't pretend to be a scout, so I'm not going to pretend to be one here, but you know, it's really Bigsby for me. And even though Bigsby, from a player profile standpoint, is pretty similar to Kendall Milton, maybe you didn't really need a carbon copy of Milton with Bigsby. But Bigsby told our Connor Riley at the Under Armour All-American game last week that, you know, some kind of unflattering things about Georgia and the way they handled his recruitment. He basically didn't feel like he was, you know, treated on the level by them. And I kind of take that seriously. And it seems pretty obvious from that Georgia was not content with Bigsby because it thought it was going to be able to get Zach Evans. I'm obviously reading between the lines, but there's plenty of lines to be read between that would suggest that is true. And I don't know. I mean, Bigsby's a five-star now. He's at Auburn. I think he's going to be salivating for the chance to play Georgia. As far as I know, Kendall Milton will end up being the better player between the two, but Georgia needed that second back, and by chasing down Evans as long as they did, it kind of kept them from getting involved with guys that, you know, might have been willing to come to Georgia, Bigsby included.
Brandon, sticking with the recruiting talk here for a minute, news comes out yesterday. The Auburn offensive line coach just kind of left the program. I know recruiting is where multiple coaches recruit players, not just the position. But how do you think that sits with Broderick Jones, and how confident are we that Matt Luke can hold on to the five-star when signing day rolls around?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that on our program today because I'm like you. I don't know that Grimes' departure is like the death knell for Auburn in that recruitment, but it certainly has to be a factor, you would think. And I guess the weird part of this is, and maybe y'all know more about this than I do, but based on some of the stuff that I saw on Twitter on this, Grimes is out with no real job to go to. Now, normally when that happens, there's only one or two things to be true. It's either like, you know, a retirement-type situation, stepping away from football, or maybe somehow Malzahn wasn't satisfied with him. I don't know what the real story is there, but when a guy steps down without that next job to go to, you kind of wonder about that. The Jones thing is, Jeff Sintel has made it pretty clear that he thinks that Jones is still bound for Georgia, and I'm not going to dispute Jeff on that. I will say, as someone who thinks that Georgia really needs Jones, it's a little bit of a, I guess, anxiety-producing thing that he stands as a commit but not a signee, that he's got official visits coming. Auburn slated as a now to get that last official visit. So this is one, given the fact that I believe that Jones could be a contender to start for Georgia tackle next season, this is one that I'm going to be really satisfied once the hay is finally in the barn. And admittedly, when I saw the Grimes news that he was out at Auburn, even though I don't really quite know what the Grimes and Jones relationship is, I took it at least as a little bit of good news that what I think of as the chief competitor for Georgia's last big five-star, that they've got a little bit of upheaval in the coaching staff right before he takes that visit, right before he makes that final announcement. I kind of took that as a bit of good news, I will say.
Well, speaking of coaches and that kind of thing, Georgia's got an opening. What do you think might potentially play out there?
I think, obviously, I'm going to jump in with y'all on the conventional wisdom on this. I'm assuming you feel the same way, that it just seems like they have to address what we saw as an offensive deficiency with that spot. Now, I think it's more likely than not it's going to be someone like Joe Brady. Now, when I say like Joe Brady, I don't mean someone who's going to come in and be as dynamic as Brady was for LSU. I mean someone that none of us have ever heard of before Georgia hires him. If I had to guess, that's what I think it's going to be. You know, Brady was like early 30s, working with the Saints. but not a guy that was, I mean, maybe some of your listeners would say they knew a lot about him, but this was not a guy that I knew a ton about before LSU hired him. He was just somebody that brought a lot of young, innovative ideas to that LSU offense. If I had to guess, that's the direction that Georgia's probably going to go to, and this is just a guess. We don't even really know, like, what position or, like, what title or role this coach would fill, but my guess is it's going to be someone from that stripe of, hey, young guy, ready to make a big name for himself, and someone that just kind of brings that, that extra wrinkle. Because I really don't think it takes a lot of change to get Georgia to a much better plane offensively. I just think I think you need a little bit of stuff there. And, you know, frankly, maybe the best skill the new coach for Georgia could have, assuming they do go on the offensive side with this, is someone who understands how to be persuasive and convince Smart to do things a little bit different and find a way to massage him and say, hey, what if we tried it this way? That may be the best skill this new coach brings to the table. Someone coming from the outside, maybe with enough authority to say, hey, I'm here to do things different, and here's how we're going to do things. I think that James Foley still has value to UGA for a number of reasons. I just think an extra pair of hands could be a nice asset for him, and that's what I'm assuming this 10th coach is going to be.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. One more question before we let you go. If you're a Mississippi State signee or a Baylor signee, they've lost the coach they signed with for different reasons, but they're still gone. Do you think those guys should be released from their letter of intent?
Yeah, I have to say I do. And I know that creates a certain degree of chaos in college football, but I'm really sensitive to player concerns on this. And I'll show you how far I'll take this. Even for a guy like Josh Braun, who decommitted from Georgia, ended up at Florida after Sam Pittman left. Y'all know I don't like Florida and don't want to see them get any recruiting wins and don't want to see Georgia lose players. But, you know, if Braun felt like Georgia wasn't the school he thought it was after Sam Pittman left, I totally understand that. You know, I'm all about rivalries and all about, you know, ultimately, you know, the stability of college football. From this standpoint, you're basically changing the terms of the agreement after these guys have signed their names on letters of intent. I will have to say that I have a lot of sensitivity on the player side when it comes to stuff like that.
Good stuff, BA. Glad to have you back. Happy New Year. We'll catch you again next week.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to it.
All right. Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.